Something, something Nazis, something, something Ingrid Bergman.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's time for another Geeky Boners episode! We are super hard for stuff like Arrow and movies and Phoenix Wright. See, I remember
geeks,
this time.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
I have a toothache.
Tim has a toothache. He just had a root canal today. So
I did. It was fun.
If the podcast is bad, that's why. You should blame Tim's teeth roots.
They're finally taking care of that dentata situation.
Yeah.
If I'm less interesting than usual, somehow. That's why.
Your mom's so fat, her root canal involves gondolas.
Good.
Yeah, I probably will. All right. That's called Comedy Genius. Today, it's time for a boners episode.
Boners!
Boing.
Big, fat, throbbing boners. We have been tumescent for weeks now, thinking about the things we wanted to share with you guys, the stuff that we're geeking out about right now. And Tim, since you are the one with the terrible teeth, why don't you start us off with your boner?
I've been watching, since the beginning of the year, I've kind of like been surfing through some of my favorite movies. I always watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy at the beginning of the year. That's just kind of my weird tradition that it's Lord of the Rings time. And I just got brand new Blu-ray copies of the Lord of the Rings. Yeah, so super shiny and clear. I just before we recorded this podcast, just last night, I watched Casablanca, one of my favorites. Shawshank Redemption. I watched the Shawshank Redemption. So kind of. Yes. Nothing gives me a boner like the Shawshank Redemption.
How embarrassing for you to be hard from Men on Death Row in the 40s. That must be really difficult for your wife to help you with.
Technically, they're not
climax difficult to achieve.
They're not on death row. They're just serving life sentences.
You're thinking Green Mile.
I am thinking Green Mile, which is basically the same movie.
Actually,
you are so wrong.
Also gets Tim hard.
Now you're going to get me all angry.
They're not even close to the same. They're violently different books too. So
I've seen like half of Green Mile, like the last half.
Yeah.
It's a terrible half to see.
It's not. It's cheesy as hell. Yeah. I mean, it's not very good.
The book's great. That's the thing about Stephen King stuff. All the supernatural stuff is way less cheesy in writing than it is on the screen.
Yeah, but you know what? If you watch Green Mile from the beginning, I don't think it's nearly as cheesy. I think it earned it.
Yeah.
If you come to it in the middle of the thing, it doesn't have the same impact. I mean, it's like coming to the middle of any story. You know,
there's
all this setup that gets you into the characters and into the situation. And if you miss that setup, I think a lot of things can look pretty cheesy.
Yeah, they did a good job with not telling all the story right up front and like doing some flashbacky kind of stuff. I don't know. I think those are two of the best Stephen King movie adaptations, but it's partially because they were short books. I mean, Green Mile was a serial that was actually never ended up being I don't even know if it's a full novel. I guess it might be, but I
think it was because I actually read The Green Mile.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption is a novella in different seasons.
Yep.
So that's
The guy that directed
different seasons.
The guy that directed True Detective is the guy in charge of the It movie.
Oh, I did not know that. That's pretty cool. The new one.
Yeah, it's starting filming in like a month or two.
So what other movies? Like, is there any other movies, Tim, that is like an automatic boner for you? Like, you're gonna watch it if somebody wants to watch it. You're gonna say yes, even if you just watched it.
Well, Raiders of the Lost Ark is kind of an obvious one, but yes, there are. Another one that I just watched is The Mummy, the one with Rachel Weisz and Brandon... Brendan Fraser. I don't know the man. Sorry, Brendan, if you're listening to our podcast, I'm sorry I mispronounced your name.
It's just a super funny video of him getting angry when people say Fraser.
but I don't know. There's something about that movie that it's cheesy
it's
and
great.
Stupid, but it's just
movie.
Really entertaining.
Yeah.
It's like It's sort of got a Raiders of the Lost Ark vibe to it, and that's probably what makes me enjoy it.
Except Rachel Weisz is way more interesting than Kate Capshaw.
Well, Kate Capshaw is in Temple of Doom.
Oh, I thought she was. Who's no? You're right. I am. Boy, I'm just getting all mixed up.
Karen Allen. Karen Allen.
Karen Allen's awesome. I don't. But Rachel
Weisz is way more attractive than in my opinion, than Karen Allen.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, ooh.
It's tough.
I don't know if you can compare beauty in the 80s to
I mean, I like Karen Allen a lot. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. She's like tough Allen. And brassy, and yeah. I like her. But Rachel Weisz, I don't know. I thought she was dreamy the first time I saw the movie.
Yeah.
So, that's what I've been doing. I've been kind of surfing back through some old favorites for the new year.
It's a solidly healthy boner.
And I think after watching the end of The Hobbit, I was really in the mood to watch The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet. We were just yesterday, we were like, oh, we could go see a movie. And then it was like, we'd go see The Hobbit. And it's like,
you know, it's better than Desolation of Smog.
That'd be hard to not be.
Whose Ville joke was that? Was that Duck Washington? I think it said, this man's wife is jealous of Peter. You know what? Why is Peter Jackson's wife angry? Because he couldn't give her a 3-hour-long climax. And I mean, like, that's... I'm all about, like, 2.5 hours of the army, the War of Five Armies or whatever. But at the same time, some fan did recently post... He got a leaked copy because it's Oscar season of the conclusion to Hobbit trilogy. And he made a 4-hour movie out of them that I really want to see.
Yeah.
That's the way it should have happened. But.
It absolutely is. Or just 2 movies, I guess. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, part of that, I think, was the studio. The studio really wanted to have 3 movies.
Cha-ching!
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a trilogy. And then, like, the other trilogy, it'll be, except that the other trilogy was 3 books and this that were one, all longer than The Hobbit.
Yeah.
each was individually almost twice as long as The Hobbit.
That trilogy still had stuff that didn't make it into the movie.
Because
the trilogy's so long.
Yeah.
Not just Tom Bombadil, but other stuff that people cared about.
Man.
That didn't make it. So,
hey, I cared about Tom Bombadil. Tom Bombadil's awesome.
I'm looking at you with a lot of judgment.
There's a lot of judgment.
He's like a god. I mean, he's some sort of crazy...
Yeah, he's a god that they spent like 50 pages on that doesn't advance the story at all.
It's good lore.
He's no giant eagle.
It's bad story, good lore.
Oh, well...
That's why I like Tom Bombadil.
Well, fine. Then he should get his own movie, the Tom Bombadil movie. Maybe he should get a trilogy.
He has his own poem. Isn't that what he first was in? Tolkien wrote like a short story or a poem about Tom Bombadil.
I'm not a master of Tolkien lore. We need to get Stephen Colbert on.
Let's not.
So I don't know. I think I've covered my boner.
All right, your boner has been thoroughly serviced.
Tim's boner has been covered.
All right, Nick, tell me about your boner.
You're well aware of my boner.
What are you hard about? Oh, I am. But what are you hard about this week?
As Molly knows, we decided to give some of the DC television shows a shot.
Like a solid shot.
We, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is on hiatus, and Agent Carter is taking its place for a little while, which Agent Carter's fantastic.
Super good.
It's super great. That had me hard when it was on, you know, last week. But right now, in the meantime, we watched the first 5 episodes of Flash and the first 5 of Arrow.
Yep.
And then we watched a few more episodes of Gotham.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I like Flash. Or no, I like The Arrow better than Flash.
Yes.
It's a little less goofy. It's a little more serious.
It's
but
less teen drama-y.
Right. No, totally.
I don't really give a shit if Barry Allen ends up with his, like, would-be sister that he, for some reason, wants to fuck so hard.
At the same time, it's not... what I worried about, which was Smallville.
No.
And yes, it has the drama, but at the same time, I mean, they're straight up super villains in The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
It's more superhero-y than
The Arrow is. It's more Gotham than Smallville, for sure.
I think, in the sense that it's young
superheroes.
I think my biggest, and I like The Flash. I enjoy The Flash. I've seen all of the episodes.
It's watchable.
I've enjoyed the way that Barry is kind of discovering what he can do episode by episode.
Yeah.
And there's some angsty drama stuff, but I don't know. To me, it's like to me, it's kind of the Peter Parker thing, and Spider-Man was always one of my favorite characters. So, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. Because
for me, that's like my least favorite part of Spider-Man. So I was like, I made the same comparison. I was like, oh, it's like with Spider-Man when he's like,
superhero girl teen drama. Angst. Yeah.
But at the same time, he's got this thing about being totally in love with his powers and what they can do. And I enjoy that.
Yeah.
So I have a genuine question.
It's a fun movie for sure.
True question though, because like, I posted this on online, but so Barry Allen's cells are all sped up, like that's why he's able to do it. That's what they're determining, like his cells move faster or something. So if I have unprotected sex with Barry Allen, would I even have time to call Planned Parenthood?
I don't,
like, or would it be
your cells wouldn't be faster,
But would the baby like gestate twice as fast or something?
Because you don't know whether or not those cells would be that power would be passed on, the metahuman kind of idea that
it depends on where he was tweaked or manipulated. Yeah. If it is on a cellular level, then I suppose there's probably a good chance it would pass it on. I guess.
The biggest concern I actually have about the show is they've got all these metahumans that show up, but it's like all of them are bad guys.
Unless
I'm kind of like, is Barry Allen going to be the only one that's going to try and use his power for good?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
a fair point.
I think I like that there's someone there to go, hey guys, this guy's Captain Cold, right? I mean, like, let's just call him by his fucking
the kid,
the tinkery genius science guy.
Our little genius.
And
yeah.
Because, I mean, superhero names, like superhero costumes, are fucking ridiculous, and you kind of need to at some point make this leap if you're going to do something truly superhero-y to go. We're just going to accept that this goofy thing is going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to call this guy Captain Cold.
Yeah.
And they have a way of doing it without drawing too much attention to it that's not too serious.
Yeah.
I
also like the fact that there's a serious, nasty thing going on and behind the scenes.
And we're not too far into that. We know, and I have my suspicions because I'm a little familiar with Flash lore.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize what a yellow blur is that's, you know, so fast that it goes through time and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I know about what's up with that stuff, but Gotham is still kind of unimpressive.
Yeah. Arrow is awesome. I like it a lot.
My least favorite thing about Gotham is Fish Mooney.
Yeah.
She overacts. Her dialogue is terrible. She's not great. She's not necessary in any way that I can see.
Yeah, you know, Gotham keeps me watching. I don't think it's great, but I do keep going back to see what else they're going to do, mostly because I like the Cobblepot character.
Yeah.
He seems to be the best reason to watch.
And so remind me, because we haven't watched Gotham for a few days, but does Gotham do the same thing as The Flash and Arrow, where at the beginning it's like, my name is this and I blah 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 and this is my city and or whatever, like the little 30-second setup they do before every episode?
No,
because I thought maybe that was going to be like a DC thing, but now I don't know, because The Flash and Arrow both start with like, my name is Barry Allen, like there was a lot I saw my mother killed by something that was impossible, you know, and then I became the impossible and now I do this and that, and every time
the Fast
Arrow,
Man Alive and the Arrow,
every Arrow is my name is Alexander Queen and I was shipwrecked. And Oliver Queen, and I was shipwrecked, and now I lived on an island
for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I'm back, and I'm going to cross out the names on my dad's list or whatever.
Well, those two seem to be the only things that are tied together in DC.
Okay.
Those two characters have crossed over.
Yeah, we've seen a crossover. We were told to watch Arrow before we kept going with The Flash.
Right.
Because there was crossover that will be spoilery.
Yes.
So we're proceeding with Arrow.
But we saw We were introduced to the character Felicity Smoke.
Yeah.
Before on Flash.
Right.
Before she even appeared in.
And then it was like, let's watch Arrow.
Yeah.
So, are there adults on Arrow? Let's watch Arrow.
We're more interested in Arrow, and luckily there's more of that to catch up on and more of that to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll come back around to Flash, but. Yeah.
I've seen all three Agent Carters, and I like Agent Carter.
Agent Carter is fantastic.
That's been great.
You know, even though that part of me wants there to reach a point where Agent Carter isn't always just the person that everybody thinks is completely incompetent.
I think that's happening, like, tonight, actually.
But the thing is, that's important, though, because that's how it was. It didn't matter how good you were a woman. So it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah. that's the thing, and I think they're doing a really good job with that. And
three more layoffs at the plant today. Oh, why is that? Three more boys.
GIs came home.
Yep, three more GIs came home.
Little cast off things like that in, you know, the way the men treat women in restaurants. Like, there's a lot of just, she's just
the radio
all
show.
All the women are just very dismissed. The radio show.
The radio show
me.
Is wonderful. I love that.
I immediately was like, Salsa needs to for Big Fun Radio Fun Time. Salsa should be taking notes. We should have like more. More stuff for that. Like, we could do like actual fist fights, slapping things.
Yeah, we need some more meat slapping.
Yep, absolutely.
Speaking of boners.
Speaking of meat slapping, yeah.
So do you have anything else that you're hard about with there, or is that it?
I think, I'm not super familiar with Green Arrow. I mean, I know about some of the stuff with Speedy in the comics and the heroin and drugs and that, and it's interesting to see them do that with his sister instead. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of a historical moment in comics. Green Arrow finding out that his sidekick Speedy is on heroin and flipping this shit and like kicking him out. Rather, he was not compassionate about the situation, and just this kind of the differences between him and Barry Allen, and also the differences between him and Barry Allen and Hal Jordan.
Oh yeah.
The differences between. I mean, really, what's the difference between a Green Arrow TV show and a Batman TV show?
Yeah.
Green Arrow kills motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I mean, dudes are dying. He's killing guys. Uh-huh. He's shooting arrows into their chests. They're not living.
He's shooting them to kill them. He shot them to the eye.
Deadshot.
Yeah.
So, which I'm assuming that's. You know, yeah.
We didn't really say that. I'm just saying. All
right. Hey guys, that's the third episode or so. So you know.
Yeah, but it's like. Four seasons ago. I don't know. I feel like
I wasn't sure how long it had been running.
The
so.
Statute of limitations.
The third season started in October. Past October.
Yeah. So all right. I have not gone back and watched Arrow yet. I do want to go back and watch Arrow. It's just kind of, you know, priorities.
Yeah, I hear you. You can't watch everything all the time.
Yeah, you have watched The Flash, though?
I have watched. I've watched The Flash up through episode 9.
Yeah, and it's a darker tone, serious.
And what I like about Flash is so much superhero stuff these days is darker, and I like that with Flash they're not doing that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I like that too. And there's been some good silly. I think that Jesse Owens is great, but he's always great. I like him a lot.
Is that the guy that plays Flash?
No, that's the guy who plays the cop dad figure.
Oh yeah, he's
Arrow. Flash. Yes. Sorry. They both have a cop dad figure.
Right.
Flash, Arrow.
And Arrow?
His ex-girlfriend's dad.
Oh,
cop,
sure. Okay, sure.
The one who has a hate on for him.
Yeah. So it's good.
All right. So.
Thus my boners are laid to bear.
Yes.
What's your boner?
Oh, my boner is Phoenix Wright. Ace Attorney.
Oh,
that's an old game that I played. I played all of them very much happily, and then just recently I picked up for Christmas. I got Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright,
which is
the crossover. Professor Layton, the weird gentleman, not a child molester, but it's weird that he just owns this kid, puzzle guy, and then Phoenix Wright, the like ridiculous Japanese lawyer game. Which has some of the most hilarious animations and characterizations and like punny character names, and it's a silly, silly game that is actually kind of hard. You have to you're a lawyer and you're defending a case and you have to use evidence and you have to know what you're looking for in the evidence. And the thing that frustrates me the most is I will know what it wants me to present. Like, I know what evidence will be exculpatory. Usually you're ending up trying to either prove someone guilty or prove them innocent. You're trying to prove the person on the stand is lying is generally what you're doing.
Right.
And I will know what the exculpatory evidence is. It's like, I know what it is. It's the fingerprints on the bar. I can tell that's going to be it. But if you don't present it at exactly the right moment in the game, you don't just not get credit for it. You actually lose one of your five strikes. And once you have lost all your strikes, the game is over. And it goes back to your last saved point. So it can be kind of frustrating because I'll be like, I'm just going to present some evidence. And they're like, what does that have to do with anything? I'm like,
If you could put in one sentence with it saying like...
And so instead, I needed to wait until like the next screen and then I presented. You know, but it's really fun. I like it. It's a cool story. The story is there's a character, Estella Cantabella, I think she might be a witch, you guys.
I don't
her
know.
Name's Isabella Cantabella. But she comes and needs Professor Layton's help, and then immediately after that, she needs help from Phoenix Wright in these seemingly two different worlds, and then they converge in a world that's actually contained within a book, and it's very cool and weird, and I can't figure out what exactly is going on, but you can tell something's going on, and so I've been playing that a lot.
Yeah,
really fun.
My son Alex is super into the Phoenix Wright and Professor mm-hmm. Layton games.
They're nuts. They're nonsense.
He's played all of them.
Yeah, he has the... it's like Miles Bedford, instead of Ace Attorney, it's like Ace Prosecutor or something. He has the one that's like the froopy like state's attorney guy doing his side of it. And I asked him how that was. He's like, yeah, that one's just okay. Like it's okay. Like, but it's, I don't know. It's a very silly game. I think if you like, deduction games, logic, deduction kind of stuff, you would enjoy it. It's not like L.A. Noir, where you're trying to tell who's lying based on the subtle animations that the characters are doing.
Micro expressions.
Because L.A. Noir, it'll be like, you have to determine if someone's lying or not. And it might just be something as easy as their eyes shifted from side to side when they said something. Or the character is holding you in a steady gaze that's a little too much. Or little tiny things. But this is more of a... It's not about what they're doing. It's like what they're saying. So and it's for kids. So don't be like, oh, it's going to be hard. I mean, it's sometimes they will actually highlight in red the word. It'll be like, we just have to look for a contradiction in his testimony. Yeah. Like in red. And it's like, a contradiction, you say? I think I can think of a contradiction in his testing. Like, it's really fun. I like it a lot.
I always liked the, Penny Arcade did a comic about Professor Layton.
Yeah.
It was, Professor Layton, like, Tycho dressed up as Professor Layton in the game, saying, you know, like, nobody in this goddamn game will help me unless I do their fucking math homework. And he looks over across the street and sees some villager, and he goes, look at this asshole. Hey, what are the chances of you lowering this bridge without any Da Vinci Code bullshit? And the guy says, I have 12 matchsticks. And the guy says, fuck you! Like,
no, that'll happen a lot, where, especially with Layton games, it'll be like, why, look, Professor, over there, that man is standing next to a fountain. It's like, a fountain, you say? Well, I seem to remember a puzzle about water that's quite interesting.
That reminds me of a word problem I had in sixth grade.
Let's see if we can light this candle, Professor. But it's moving all around. Well, it seems to me we need to determine which one is the real candle. Have a look at this. And then it's like, damn it. But in this one, I will say there is a woman. Her name is Mary, because it's unoriginal. And she's constantly holding a goat that bleats all the time. And the goat's name is Snowy. And so, like, I had to use her testimony at one point, and it was like, every time she said something, and she would hug the goat, and the goat would go, bleh, nah, like that. And I had to turn the sound down, because I liked it so much, I was just letting it play, and it's like, what is that?
You had to take the testimony of a goat? Or no, the woman who held the goat.
The
woman who said it
sounded
like...
She asks the goat a lot of questions.
She does. She's like the log lady from
She's exactly like the log lady
but she's
from
the goat lady.
But it's a goat. Yes.
That's you someday.
Yeah, that will be me someday. Hopefully
the goat
soon.
Lady. That crazy goat lady that lives on the edge of town.
Yeah.
Old Widow Glover.
Oh, hold up. Wait a minute. Widow Glover.
I don't know.
I just can't wait. It sounds like the best.
And when I'll brush
the best Phoenix Wright game ever.
It'll be like in Cargill's book. I'll be that one Unseelie Fae that, like, the more horrible things happen, the younger I look and my goats are prettier. And
some sort of reverse Portrait of Dorian Gray.
That's what it is. I don't remember her name. I think she's the Gwynnin or something like that. So, anyway. Huh. Awesome. Those were good boners, everyone.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. I have five answers. Today our five answers come from James Maxwell from Athol, Massachusetts. Here with my five answers. That is not pronounced asshole, but it's close, he says. So I guess it's Athol.
Athol.
Boy, that's
kinda
pretty hilarious.
Kind of like Athol with a asshole with a lip.
He's from Athol, Massachusetts. So, yes.
All right, question number one. What's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
This movie played like Orwell's 1984 meets the Poseidon Adventure, the 1972 original with Gene Hackman and Ernest Borgnine, not that 2005 Steve Guttenberg piece of shit. This movie had it all. Jesus, just from a culinary standpoint, it had baby-eating, cockroach jello, high-end sushi, and hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
The themes of zealotry and fidelity played well off each other, and I can honestly say that I did not see the plot twist coming, which is rare for me. I usually know how a movie will end before the opening credits finish rolling. That's a bold claim. Also, shout out to Guardians of the Galaxy. Saw it more than a month ago, but best fucking movie ever.
Yeah.
By the time you read this, I should have mainlined the Blu-ray and died from an overdose of Easter egg awesomeness.
Snowpiercer, good.
Snowpiercer was great.
We did that as a video on demand thing before it was even out in the theaters because of all the fucking nonsense that was out about the release of that movie.
Yeah.
The Weinstein brothers
refused to give it a wide release because the director refused to change his vision of the movie. They were like, change the script and this and the ending and make all these cuts. And he was like, no, go fuck yourselves.
They'll change the movie entirely.
They'll change the movie. This is my movie. No. And they were like, okay, well then it's going to get extremely limited release. And
which is
so
just like fucking dumb. It's like, you guys, don't you want to make money off your movie?
I know. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, question number two, who is your favorite atheist character?
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb on this one, but I'm going to say Captain James T. Kirk. Best line in a Star Trek movie ever. Quote, excuse me, I just wanted to ask a question. What does God need with a starship? Also in Star Trek V, Kirk says about God, quote, maybe he's not out there, Bones. Maybe he's right here. Human heart. That's some humanist shit right there. Is he an atheist? I sure as hell don't know, but it sure seems like he needs some serious proof before he'll accept any kind of superstitious bullshit.
Well, since we know that Star Trek was created by Gene Roddenberry, and Gene Roddenberry was definitely an atheist.
Yeah. Yes.
Of the superhumanist. Not superhuman.
Not superhumanist, but
super humanist. Right.
And since we know that... We presume that he created a universe in which it's kind of post-religion. Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
There are people that have religion, but in the Federation, it's not really...
The people with religion are like from, not, I don't want to say backwater planets, but backwater planets. So, it's like rural. It's considered quaint.
Yeah. There's no proof necessarily. I don't think there's anything in Star Trek where Kirk actually outright says he's an atheist. The odds would suggest that he's an atheist.
Yeah. Why would he say he's an atheist
almost everybody's an atheist.
If the unusual thing is like you don't go around being like,
it's an unremarkable thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the, what is it? Richard K. Morgan, his series of great, great cyberpunk. Religion is regarded as like quaint and cultish and kind of weird, and most of the religions have kind of like found their own little planets to fuck off to and like ignore the rest of civilization as it progressed through the stars.
Yeah.
Just because most of the religions have rejected this sort of technology that kind of sort of makes one immortal and able to switch bodies and whatnot and just kind of live if your frame dies. And so that's you can't transfer a human soul and all these other you know, religious objections to technology. And so they've, fine, you want to be Catholic and not use birth control and not live forever, then, you know, go fuck off to Pluto or something. You know, be your own little whatever.
Like enjoy your mortality, asshole. Question number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
I am a politics geek. Not the kind where I follow the politicians, no. I download and read government reports, meeting minutes, and proposed bills. I read the Affordable Care Act front to back, and in fact have a copy of it stored on my phone, along with my current reading list from the Government Accountability Office. I think if you are going to bitch about something or praise it, you need to know the full picture and not just what you are spoon-fed by the confirmation bias machine that is the modern 24-hour news cycle media monster. Fuck the noise and learn the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I
like that a lot.
Sure. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could spend that amount of time reading the Affordable Care Act, I probably would. You know,
How many pages was it? It was ridiculous,
it's
right?
It's ridiculous. Most bills are super, super, super long.
Yeah.
And, you know, before you really bitch about a bill, you need to read it to see what's in it. But
to be sure.
The Affordable Care Act is crazy monster.
Yeah, it's long.
It was 15.5 million words.
Wow.
Or something like that, I guess.
And they're mostly boring-ass fucking words.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. So question number four, what's your favorite sandwich?
I am a vegetarian, so that limits the playing field a bit. No baby or roach jello for me, I'm afraid, but I do eat eggs. With that in mind, I'm going to break from tradition here and go with an omelet, which is like a sandwich, only with eggs instead of bread.
I'm down.
Sure.
First, start with 3 to 4 eggs, well beaten and with a dash or two of brewer's yeast flakes added in. Pour them into a large, slippery, preheated pan, let them cook until they set, and will break free of the pan with a flick of the wrist. While that is going, I heat up my own homemade seitan chili. I make it from scratch, seitan included. It is flavorful, but has enough heat to make you cry mama if you are not careful. Once the eggs are ready, spoon the chili onto one half the eggs and add a liberal amount of coarsely shredded Vermont sharp cheddar. Hmm. Sharp cheddar. This is the New England after all. Sharp cheddar. Fold it over. It's written that way. Fold it over and let it cook a bit more until the cheese melts. Serve with a side of sour cream or drizzled or slathered with your favorite hot sauce. I like the Tabasco Chipotle. Hmm. Not a sandwich, but fucking delicious.
Yeah, omelets are good. Awesome. I'm a big fan really of omelets.
Chili omelet sounds yummy.
I'm down.
I make that.
I like chili and eggs. Eggs, I mean, as we've discussed, eggs kind of make everything better.
Eggs are like a level up.
If egg on a sandwich is amazing, then an egg sandwich made out of eggs, I mean, it's by nature.
Yeah.
It's inceptionally perfect.
Slices of hard-boiled egg on a pizza.
Question number five, what's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
So I'm driving behind a Ford F-150 during my evening commute. My commute is long enough to make a long-haul truck driver pee himself. And this truck is lifted at least 6 inches, has oversized swamp tires on it, and is plastered with bumper stickers. I usually welcome the reading material, and I like a tricked-out truck. But in this case, there were three things that stood out. The Alabama plate in Massachusetts, in rush hour traffic, the mossy oak theme plastered everywhere, and two of the many bumper stickers. One said, Jesus loves you, and the other right next to it read, too many liberals, not enough bullets.
Youch.
It is a good thing Jesus loves me, because that guy plainly does not. And if he had not run out of bullets, well, it would not end well for one of us. Perhaps a bumper sticker is not the best place to post your intent for mass murder. So much for, quote, God's love, asshole. Jesus. Thanks for your time and for the podcast. You guys are a fucking riot and have turned me on to so much cool geeky shit like Boss Monster. My 12-year-old son and I play it for hours. Keep them coming.
Boss Monster.
Yours in reason, James.
That's just by coincidence, Boss Monster. We picked that up for Christmas.
So. Nice.
So there you go. What a cool question.
Thank
seriously,
you, James.
Seriously, that bumper sticker, you know, too many liberals, not enough. And that's not the... There's like too many blank, not enough bullets, too or many this.
Just the whole like concept of like... better get my gun. Like,
yeah. I just think that's bad comedy.
Yeah,
it basically says, "Oh, you're so dumb, I should kill you." I guess. I don't know.
We disagree. Therefore, you die. It's so.
Yeah, it's very. It's not even very pointed. Like liberal. Liberal
sounds,
about what?
It sounds like you know, terrorism, you know? Yeah. I mean, isn't that what...
Liberal about gun use, apparently. Yeah. I mean, like...
Too many liberal applications of sunscreen? Like... Too many, like, liberties taken with the Constitution, if you ask me. All right, well, those are our boners. Thank you, James Maxwell from Athole, Massachusetts. And
Athole.
Maybe someday we'll come visit your Athole.
I'd love to come see you in Massachusetts.
Those are our boners. Tell us what you're geeking out about. Feel free to comment, Facebook, on the website, whichever.
What's your boner?
Yeah, describe your boner to me. The length, the girth, all of it. We are Geeks Without God. Yes, no dick pics, please.
No homo. Anyway.
No, lots of homo. I'm all about
homo.
Homo's
fine. Yeah.
Homo's great. Yeah. Just no dick pics, please. Anyway, please rate us on iTunes if you so choose, and subscribe if you don't. We will see you guys soon. Thank you so much. And if, as always, if you want to answer our questions, you can send your responses to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Have a blessed day. My name is Nick, and my computer was on this whole time. Tapping, 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 and turning on sounds.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Listen to past podcasts and catch us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod and like our Facebook page, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. God.
Hope your day is super blessed.
I hope he shines his love upon you.